Chair, Senator Nelson, the existing statute, ORS 250.075 sub 1, does provide for the mechanism that we're proposing the committee adopt, which is that the legislative assembly may prepare a ballot title for a measure that it chooses to refer for an election.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I agree.
I just wanted to ask on the HR 88, where it says give the public to the policy, and I apologize for being late, maybe it just came up. But in the results of the no vote, it says it leaves the public without a right to demand jury trial in criminal cases. Wouldn't that be more properly spoken to say to leave the prosecutor without the right? Because the public, I mean, they can't show up at the courthouse and demand a jury trial.
Mr. Chair, are you the public? Mr. Chair, Senator Burdick, the concept of the measure is, we believe, captured by the notion that the public has the right to exercise this demand through the prosecutor. That's our understanding, the work group's understanding of the text of the measure. And so we do believe that the result of no vote is a statement of the effect of not approving the measure. It leaves the public without the right to demand the jury trial. The mechanism by which the public would demand that is through the prosecutor.
If the prosecutor and the public disagree, then the prosecutor makes the call. If there's a big public, if you took a poll and the public wanted a trial, and then the prosecutor said no, I think the effect of the ballot measure would be the prosecutor doesn't even have to ask the public what they think.
Mr. Chair, Senator Burke, I think that's correct. It is the prosecutor is the gatekeeper through which the public's will is expressed, and it may be that there would be a disagreement between public opinion, as it were, and the prosecutor, in which case the prosecutor would, the prosecutor's choice would control.
Mr. Chair, it doesn't seem like the prosecutor is an elected official representing the public. I mean, isn't that check and balance kind of a thing?
You say on the top the result of the yes, the public through the prosecutor. You say that, but then on the no vote, it leaves the public without a right to demand jury trial in criminal cases, when in fact it's leaving the prosecutor without the right.
Seems to be a proofreader.
It's more than proofreading, Mr. Chairman. Prosecutors spelled correctly.
We're in work session. The chair would move on page 3, the technical amendment on line 4 of changing jury to court, so that that line would re-judge and have case tried to court alone. Is there objection to that technical amendment? The chair then would move the dash A8 amendment, have technically amendment, to House Bill 2253. Objection. Chair then would move House Bill 2353 as amended before it could do pass recommendation. Discussion. Objection. Order. Thank you. I'll go ahead and carry. Thank you, Mr. Shepard. Thank you to the work group. We're now going to work session on 3489 and Representative Wyncliffe, Representative Wyncliffe, and we have in front of us the dash A10 amendment. Committee, this is one where the status at our last meeting was that the governor and the Department of Land Conservation and Development were willing to agree to a bill that affected the east side of the mountain, but not southern Oregon. And We have been dallying as long as we can trying to find a solution, but that's where we are today. So, first of all, why don't we have Representative Lindquist speak to the Dash A-10 amendments and then have your response.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for hearing this. It is late in session, and so we worked for a long period of time trying to put this together for both 7 and 8, and the time has come that we have to move forward if we're going to. The bill, just for a couple things under the record here. First of all, in regard to the larger farm parcels that can be under present law where you can divide two non-farm parcels off, I just want to make sure that these two divisions do not have to occur simultaneously. So you can take one parcel off one time and one parcel off a little later. We also, since in trying to add to what we had before, and I think the committee pretty well understands that the very narrow window that we have here, for the parcels larger than the minimum parcel size on the farm parcels, all remaining, all new parcels created after this bill will not be eligible to put into two non-farm parcels. So that's a reduction, a net reduction in the potential for non-farm parcels within farm zones. Secondly, on the substandard, or the smaller than minimum lot size, or equal to, there's just one division allowed, and this is all on non-farm land. We also have a further requirement that if the parcel, the original parcel you want to divide, is less than 40 acres, you cannot divide it. So what we have here is a situation basically between either 80 or 160 acres and 40. That's allowable to have one division, and that's the extent of it. Since the last hearing, we also have come to an agreement to look at the forage standard. If the soil on the non-farm parcels are 7 and 8, it does not have to meet a forage standard. If there is more than 10% of the soil is a Class 6 soil, it needs to meet a forage standard, and the department will draft the rules pertaining to that. In that regard, I wanted for the record to understand that that there are some economics involved in that process. In other words, if you have let's say an 80-acre parcel with a number of 80s or 40s together in different ownerships, the economical viability of fencing those and running two animal units or two animals per year are very, not very plausible. However, if there is a parcel that's in the midst of larger ranches, a single parcel, then the economics would be just a little bit different. So we want that into the record that the economics will be considered, and the department will struggle with that as they bring the rules forward. That, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity, and I want to say publicly as well, Senator Representative Morgan has worked diligently with us. I understand there's a difference of opinion here, and we've tried to work through that process, and I think we've both done that in good faith. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions for Representative Lindquist? Susan.
For the record, I'm Susan Morgan, State Representative from District 46, and I think at this point what I'd like to do is comment on the A-10 amendments that have been offered forward. I think that, again, overlaying all of this is a philosophical resistance on my part to uncouple the east part of the state and the south part of the state because of the loss of initiative to settle the problem that the southern part of the state is going to have. I see a couple of problems in the A-10 amendment, things that I'm not real happy with. The first of them is, again, where I'm on page 2 of the amendments on line 6, language in there that talks about 8 parcels smaller than the minimum established. The concerns that this could have the impact of taking away one of the rights to partition that we already have in parcels that are larger than the minimum on the west side. I also have a problem with the policy statement on the first page in section 2 that essentially says even though on the west side we will be left with the ability to partition greater than minimum lot size parcels, it isn't a good thing to do. And I think that is setting us in a direction that we don't want to go in.
Where could you point that out to me? What line that part on?
Subsection A on page 1 that begins on line 14.
A10. And your concern about that language again is what?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
And your concern about that language again is?
Is that it, essentially we have a statement that says that the west side can still partition on parcels that are greater than 80 acres, which is the statement that's made on page 2, beginning on line 6, it's subsection 4. But then a policy statement on the first page that says that even though we can do that, it's not a good thing to do. The also on page 3, which is the portion of the east side rules that deal with the establishment of a some kind of rules for establishing whether land is actually grazing land or not. I think that's really open-ended in what it's allowing the Department of Ag and DLCD to do, and I think that could definitely use some tightening down and focusing.
And what line again in page is that?
It is page 3, line 19, section large double I. But overlying it all is a very strong feeling on my part that uncoupling the east side from the south side is not a good position for the south part of the state to be in. And for that reason, I oppose the bill.
And if it did not uncouple, would your other reservation cause you then to support the bill?
At this point, there is no solution for the west side that's left in the bill.
I understand. But if the west side were going to be treated the same as the east side, would you then support the bill?
The difference that needs to be in the bill for it to make sense for the west side, the developments of the solutions were very similar, with the exception that on the west side, the piece that was left over after the non-farm parcels were broken out needed to be able to be classified as an agricultural parcel. So if that was in there, I would have no problems supporting that.
Okay, then that was, I didn't speak questions very well. The point I was trying to raise is your earlier 3 concerns with the bill, which I understand. It somehow addressed the Southern Oregon problem. You would have accepted the bill even with those concerns. If it would have addressed the problem.
I'm not sure that I understand your question.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll rephrase it. In your earlier testimony, you said you had 3 concerns on 3 specific points. However, if the bill solved the Southern Oregon problem, you would accept the bill even with the 3 concerns you raised.
If there was a solution that was equitable for the southern part of the state, I would still want to take the policy statement out of the bill.
Which is section 2.
Which is section 2, essentially.
Representing one question, was section 2 added in response to PGE versus Bowling? And the court's lack of going to legislative intent?
That's part of it. I've been working with the department one of the concerns by everybody in the land use arena is trying to be more specific in regards to what the intent is, because when we get down the road 2 years or 4 years, there's always that question mark. So this is an attempt to put that in language such that there would not be that unknown factor if we try to handle it down the road. So this is, this is part of the reason for it.
Well, and of course, Park Farm in the Dornovan case is Court of Appeals ignored another section of the statute that was inconsistent with their state. Question?
May I just take one more question?
Yes,
Mr. Chair. I would like to also say that working with Representative Lentz, Homeless Jessica, has been a great experience for me, and I've enjoyed it quite a bit. We have not agreed on everything by any means, but I think that I certainly learned a lot.
Well, we appreciate the fact that you did try to come up with something, and in fact, the initial draft of the bill answered both your problems. The problem is you didn't have the governor's signature and the possibility of it. That was what you wanted. Other questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, that is exactly the reason we couldn't come to agreement. We both wanted to work and have worked together. It's simply a matter, I guess, being around the process a little over time, that sometimes we have to settle for less than a whole loaf, and that's hard to do.
Well, this isn't even less than a whole loaf, as far as I
can see. So, I do appreciate it.
Other questions? Thank you for your testimony. Well, committee, this is one that's not a perfect solution, but unfortunately there can't be one here. And I don't want to sound paternalistic in the approach that we're taking. I would have liked to address the whole governing decision, but politically it's not possible. So this is half a loaf. It's probably less than half a loaf. And as I told Susan, and I understand why she'd like to have a situation where the entire state is upset about the decision and keeps pressure on trying to do something in the next legislative session, but representing Central Oregon and to some extent Eastern Oregon, I think the senators and the legislators from those areas are always going to be sympathetic to the issues that are being addressed here, and hopefully that in the future there'll be an opportunity to address it for the entire state. But it's just not going to be in this particular session. So, what I would like to do, and I know I'm getting some courtesy votes in order to do this, I'd like to go ahead and move the A-10 amendments. And so I will do that. And is there a discussion concerning those?
Mr. Chair, I'm one of those. I will give you a courtesy vote, although I'm inclined to go along with the concerns expressed by the representative from Southern Douglas County. I tend to agree with that. And I will be a no vote before that. I will give you my courtesy vote.
Thank you. Have a discussion.
Courtesy vote at this point.
Thank you.
Father, I'm going to be the wicked Grinch. I'm not going to get a courtesy vote. So I'm a no vote, both on amendments and this.
And you won't get any of the courtesy either. All right, well, we're going to have to come back this afternoon then when I have at least one of the other members. So. Why don't we want to have a picture taken also, so why don't we come back at 1:00. We're probably not going to session at 1:10, and hopefully we can complete at that point. So we will be in recess then until 1:00.